This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, many thanks to all of our guests so far, but Mr. Durham, we are 2 weeks away from rolling into Raleigh, NC, being live from somewhere in the vicinity.
Got some bad news in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, well, I'm real thrilled to hear about that. Wolf Pup's got talons, so the handlers, Dave Dorn, I don't know who it is, you got 2 weeks
to get Dave's get not pedicure. In charge of the Wolf Pup.
Well, I mean, Dave's the Wolf, he's the football coach, right?
He's
wolf,
not in charge of
who
the Wolf
Pup. Who leads the team out? Wolf Pup?
He's not in charge of the Wolf
Pup. Whoever's in charge better get the pedicure for the Wolf Pup, Tuffy. We get a pedicure for the dog.
Jeez.
We don't need him in here with talons when we come rolling in here. The treats I got, I mean, come on, man. Talons are serious.
Well, I tell you who else has talons. Clemson.
Yeah, the Tigers have talons.
Yeah, they have
talons. That's a different beast.
And now they've got challengers. Yesterday, Chris Felica was with us on the show. He talked about Carolina being as close to Clemson as maybe anybody challenging a power like in the Big Ten with Ohio State, maybe Wisconsin or whoever you like in the Big Ten. He thinks the gap with Carolina and Clemson's narrower than some other Power Five leagues. Is it? I don't know. We've been here before, haven't we, Pac?
We've been down this road before, and the Tigers' ridiculous streak where they've just run roughshod over the league. And we've seen FPI be incredible with their numbers and speculation. And, you know, we go back to 2016, Wes, and which was a magical year for the Tigers when they won a national championship. Florida State was still really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
That game in Tallahassee was one for the ages, right? One of the best games you'd ever want to see.
Yep.
And they pushed Clemson to the limit. And old Deshaun Watson and the boys, they had to find some magic late, and they did. They come out with a 37-34 W. And, of course, the FPI had Florida State at 46% to win the league, Clemson at 37%. That will be a theme, by the way, in this segment. But that was a night that it just kind of felt like, man, you know what? You knew it was there. Florida State was going to give you a heavyweight shot, and they did, and Clemson responded.
2017 happened again. Right? Same kind of game. Miami given a chance. Florida State was the favorite, 38% going in. 26% for the Tigers. Clemson won by two scores.
I told you earlier when we had some fun with this segment, to me, that was kind of like the passing of the torch. Right? That 2016 game could have gone either way, but this one was a Clemson W. This was, hey, you're coming to our house, and you know what? We're just better than you. And they proved it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless what FPI thought.
Yeah, I think when you start looking at it's eerie how it's like Florida State in the 90s.
It is. It really is.
I mean, because Florida State comes in this league and the immediate challenger was Clemson, right?
Well, Clemson was coming off the decade of the 90s,
yep.
Right? And then you had the change with Danny Ford and all that stuff, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to get into all that. But you had the sense that Clemson was kind of the king of the 80s.
Right.
Even though North Carolina and Maryland were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes like this new kid on the block who had really had a ton of momentum with Florida State. We already saw the Punt Ruski game, but they weren't an ACC member then. Clemson went down and won at Florida State. So you got a sense that, hey, now's the time to figure out what's going on. And Charlie Ward, who we just had on talking about Bobby Bowden, led a fourth quarter drive. And Florida State won that game at Clemson, much like what Clemson did to Florida State in 2016. Down late, rallied, fourth quarter, got the W. And, of course, Florida State, about a year or two later, won their first national championship, and the rest is history. But there's a real similarity with Florida State's dominance in the 90s and what we've seen here in the last decade by the Tigers.
I want to go back to 17 because we told you, FSU had the biggest preseason chance to win, according to FPI, at 38%. Clemson was 26%, and Miami was given an 18% chance. The polls, voters had more faith in the Noles. The Tigers beat them. And then Miami shows up, and we get the championship game that everybody had been talking about. Oh, Clemson-Miami, this will definitely be there. And Kelly Bryant throws for 252.
I think, again, I told you, I think the buzz here was, I mean, listen, Mark Richt and the Canes had a great year. Remember, they had the hiccup late at Pittsburgh. But still, we finally saw Miami in the ACC championship game. And for everybody that grew up in this league, when Miami joined the conference in the early part of the century, It was just assumed by all of us, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Man, how many times are we going to see Miami, Florida State in this ACC championship game? Figured it was going to happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're sitting here in 2021. We've never seen it. In fact, we've only seen Miami in the ACC title game one time, and it was against Clemson. And that game was over early,
mm-hmm.
and it was a blowout. I mean, 38-3, I don't even think it was indicative of how ugly that game was as far as it being a competitive battle. But Miami had a terrific year, but Clemson just kind of said, hey, excuse us. We'll take it from here.
Yeah, and in 2018, the Tigers were heavy favorites, but NC State actually got a couple of votes. Were they the challenger? Well, if they were, they came to Clemson ranked 16th, like the third week in October, and this game was over quick.
I told you the difference in this game was right after heads or tails, you call it. That's about when that game turned. Clemson jumped them early, and it was over. I mean, that thing was just crowd was into it. NC State looked flustered. Trevor Lawrence is throwing BBs all over the yard, and,
yep.
and that thing got out of control and game, set, match, and there was no doubt who was king.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So then you move to 19, okay? What are we thinking in 19? Well, remember, we're talking about Syracuse coming off a big year, right? Here's the Orange. They had some success. We're thinking 19. They come in. Legitimate shot. Beating them a couple years earlier. Kept it close in 18. 10-win season. Hosting the Tigers. First sellout in the Dome in 20-some years. No. Didn't happen. 41-6.
You know, in that game, it was kind of sloppy early.
Very.
It was still close. It looked like Syracuse probably had a couple chances to maybe get the crowd into it early. And then I just remember Amari Rodgers catching this little shot in the flat. And a couple jukes later, he went about 75, 80 yards. And
They reviewed it because they thought he might have stepped out of bounds. That's what I remember about the play.
And like all of a sudden, you're down 3 touchdowns. And it just was like, all right, time to go home. Let's go get some wings before we hit the house. And it's 41-6. But Clemson has done a great job that every time somebody gets talked up, they don't say anything. Mm-hmm. They just show up and play football. And this year, it just seems like North Carolina and Miami in particular have received a ton of speculation that, hey, this is the year that somebody finally dethrones the Tigers. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to see that game in the regular season because they don't see each other. But who knows? Maybe we get that game in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But there's some folks in the Atlantic Division in Raleigh and Chestnut Hill who are like, hey, don't forget about it. Forget about the title game.
Right.
Who's to say we can't get those guys in the regular season?
Well, that's what happened last year. Notre Dame's, we take the division walls down. Notre Dame comes in the league to play for 1 year. Clemson goes to South Bend. Lawrence is sidelined in the COVID. DJ Uiagalelei comes in, does a great job, after bringing them from behind against Boston College the week before. They don't win the game, and then they turn around and play in the championship game down the street here. Tigers win 34-10. Trevor's back in the lineup, throwing post to Amari Rodgers.
And much like all these highlights from every year, that game just didn't feel like – I mean – it was 34-10 the final, but it was 34-3 early third quarter. And I remember Herb Street and Fowler having speculation about, hey, the way this thing's going is Notre Dame basically playing themselves out of the college football play. That's how dominant the Tigers were in the championship game. But, again, Clemson has really stepped up and really played their best football when it matters the most. And I know people will be barking, oh, what happened in the Austin game? Yeah, you don't win them all, but in this league – sure feels like they do.
All right, so we get to this conversation annually, I guess. But when somebody has a dominant run, Florida State 20 years ago, Clemson now, how do you prioritize the challengers? And that's kind of where you come into play at 844, say, ACCN. Carolina, Miami are getting most of the attention on the coastal side.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep.
Derek King explosive, Sam Howell 68 TDs in 2 years. You mentioned on the BC, NC State, the Atlantic Challengers. We got a ways to go. We get the NC State thing in September, right?
State gets Clemson at home in Raleigh. And I know Clemson's dominated the series. I mean, they've dominated the series.
Sure they have.
But you just get the sense that NC State fans, players, coaches mm-hmm. kind of feel like, hey, you know what? We're due one here. Like, you know, they had a chance to knock off the Tigers in Death Valley, and they miss a chip shot field goal, losing overtime.
Right.
Clemson, for the most part, though, has kind of manhandled them But you just get a sense with NC State, they've been kind of quiet. North Carolina, their arch rival, receiving all this attention right down the road. They got all these starters back. Every time we've had Dave Dorn on the show, there's a quiet confidence that I feel really good of what we're at the line of scrimmage on both sides. Mm-hmm. I got great linebackers. I got a quarterback that can make plays. All my backs are back. I got guys I can throw it to.
Yep.
I think NC State's feeling pretty good about their spot. Yeah, we know who Clemson is, yada, yada, yada. But I'll go back to that second game of the season. NC State will have an opportunity to kind of wake everybody up a little bit. They didn't receive any top 25ers. You won't see the NC State's name in there, even though I think they're a top 20 football team. But they'll get a chance to go on the road to Stark Vegas, week two against Mississippi State. SEC venue, cowbells, all that stuff. Mike Leach, you get a chance to make a statement if you're NC State. And it really does kind of set you up for, all right, Clemson, whether you beat Georgia or not. And if the Tigers lose to Georgia, for argument's sake, it really puts a lot of pressure on Clemson, I think. Forget about the ACC. I mean, their mindset is, hey, we're going back to college football playoff. We're here to win a national title. We've already found out if you lose two, you're through from that discussion. So week one, certainly important for Clemson. But NC State, I think, is just sitting back going, hey, you got to come to Carter-Finley. We see you late September, and that could be off to the races again. All these streaks eventually come to an end at some point in time, but somebody's going to have to prove it in the ACC to beat Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, because of the time frame of the game being where it is. Remember now, Clemson opens with Georgia, South Carolina State at home, then Georgia Tech comes to Frank Howard Field, and then they go to Raleigh.
Right, and then BC's right behind it,
by
the way.
That's it.
Just saying, the way this thing lays out. And every year I go back to my old show notes, radio, TV, whatever it is, and I'll read like what was the topics, what we were going about, and you can go as far back as you want. It's always funny to me what we talk about in August and how different the topics are in late September.
I agree.
It just is the way. That's why college football is so great. I mean, you can read all the magazines, you can listen to all these talking heads like us, whatever the case may be, but quite frankly, you just don't know. You really don't know. And, yeah, you could look at the odds. Bama's big favorite in the SEC. Same with Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson. Still got to prove it. And, yeah, people complain, oh, the same teams all the time. Eventually, it ends. Just telling you.
Let me give you – we've talked about October 16th as it relates to the Coastal, right?
North Carolina, Miami.
Right. But also, same day as Pitt, Virginia Tech.
Right.
Okay. And I know we don't talk about Virginia in that conversation, but the Cavaliers, again, can play their way into that
without
situation.
Question. They've done it before.
But at least on paper, we're talking about who are regarded as the top four teams right now in the Coastal. Let me just give you this. If, biggest word in sports, NC State and Clemson, when we look at that ball game on the 26th, right?
25th.
Or the 25th, I'm sorry. Then you get to the next week, which is BC Clemson. Okay? Let that go down. But let's say that the Tigers fall in one of those two games. Possible?
Sure.
All right? How big then does October 16th become when NC State visits Boston College?
Right. You just never know. Don't know how the dominoes fall with all this.
And stuff. The night before, Clemson is at Syracuse.
Well, QC.
Listen, no, but I'm just
QC's
saying.
QC's coming off 1-10. They got some work to do.
Say what we want to say.
Yeah.
Syracuse played Clemson tough last year. I mean, pick six by Garrett Williams. The year prior to, it was a blowout game. The 2 years prior to that.
Are you morphing into the voice of victory right in front of my very eyes?
No, he'll be here at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, okay, good.
He'll be here at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, I mean, because all these other games that you're selling me on, I'm buying. I'm not necessarily buying that one.
I'm just saying, if Clemson were to slip against NC State or Boston College, either one, it then makes NC State Boston College on October 16th
big
in the Atlantic.
Right. Right.
Especially for if there's an upset, the team that does pull the upset.
Well, you started this talking about Florida State in the 90s. You know, they started when they joined the league going
70-2.
And two.
Yes.
And believe me, there were many a seasons in the 90s in
this
league where this conversation took place. But instead of Clemson, you filled it in with Florida State. And you were like, hey, at what point in time is somebody in this league going to beat these dudes? Because at this pace, I don't think Bobby Bowden, he's going to get to 500 wins in about a week and a half. Because that's how good Florida State was, and they were obliterating people. I mean, we just went through this list of all the challengers the Tigers have gone through from the conference standpoint in the last 5 or 6 years on this run, and these games, quite frankly, were not close,
yeah,
with the exception of that Florida State game back in 16. That's how the same conversation was with Florida State in the 90s. And like I said, eventually somebody kind of figures it out, yeah, and says, hey, enough.
Yeah.
It's our turn.
That's it.
So we'll see if that's the case in 21.
We got to be very quiet as we go to break.
Chester's
sleeping.
Chester is praying to the puppy gods. He's praying, please, puppy gods, when my master comes rolling into Raleigh in 2 weeks, have those talons cut from that wolf pup. Okay. I don't want my master coming back bloodied up from Raleigh.
I got Fuller here.
Fuller's at your feet. Chester's on the Roger Goodell chair. Praying to the gods.
What are we doing?
Life is good. Life is right exactly how it's supposed to be.
All right.
After almost 300 shows of you missing out on all that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
As Wes has pointed out multiple times, the ACC Network Tour comes to my city, Winston-Salem, right, NC, to see the Wake Forest Demon Deeks.
Yes, sir.
And its head coach would be Dave Clawson. We have talked about Dave a bunch. You had him on the show last week. And you know what? As I said to Riley Skinner, maybe the perfect coach for the Deeks, given the fact he's inherited the whole mindset of what that institution's all about academically.
Right. Yeah.
Recruits accordingly, and on, by the way, has great results.
I think he also, in some ways, defends the concepts that are important to college football.
Amen.
I say defends in a positive light. It's not defending in a negative light, because I think what he does in conversations with us is he reminds you what college football is ahead of this big financial thing that's out there at the end of the year that, as you know from doing the afternoons, really only applies to about 8 schools a year, right?
It may be more than that, but it's a short list versus the 130 that fall under the category.
The thing that I love about Dave Clawson is he is not scared to tell you how important a bowl experience is for a team. He's not scared to tell you that, hey, wait a second, this NCAA handing out free waivers is a problem. He's a guy who is so smart, he thinks about the game as it stands, and he thinks about the game 5-10 years from now. He knows where the impact is. I would venture to say, and this might be a bit of hyperbole, nobody has a better feel right now for the impact of the free waiver on his football team than Dave Clawson does.
Well, because he's living it.
Exactly.
He's living it.
Yeah, he's a private school, the low enrollment, an expensive scholarship cost. But here's the other thing too. It's not his only job. He did it at Fordham. He's coached at Bowling Green. He's coached at Richmond. He was an OC at Tennessee. I mean, he gets kind of how all this works and is not scared to remind you of the basic concepts that make college football really good.
Dave Clawson is a really good football coach, but you know what? Dave Clawson would be a really good commissioner. Because I think he understands the mission statement, mm-hmm, of a student athlete.
Right.
And he's at an institution where, you know what, when you get a degree, it matters.
Yeah.
And whether you go on the National Football League or you become whatever, you know what, the key is getting your education. And he gets it.
Yeah.
And you know what, that's not an easy job at Wake Forest. And we gave you the bar bet, right? There's 3 schools in the ACC that have been to bowl games in each of the last 5 years. Clemson, we get it. Miami, got it. Oh, Wake Forest is the answer, yeah, to the 3. And I'm just incredibly impressed. Every time you're around them, you seem to learn something. That's, yeah, the other thing I like about Dave Clawson when we do interviews with him. And he does, like you said, he doesn't mind taking you behind the curtain and saying, hey, listen, here's an issue that we need to address.
Yep.
And it's going to be a trickle-down problem for us, not this year necessarily, mm-hmm, but in 2023, we're going to have to look at this and look back and go, hey, we made a decision in terms of college football. Now, how are we going to figure out a solution?
Right.
He gets it, and he's just a really impressive guy.
And you know why else you can buy into it? You know why else you need to listen to Dave Clawson? Because he's winning games, okay? You listen to other coaches that win games, you probably need to listen to this guy too from that standpoint. And this, look, if you're watching our show, you know, right? Because you follow the ACC, you've got a passion for Wake or you got a passion for a particular school. But think about it nationally. If you're following college football nationally, you probably ought to listen to this guy because let's go through the last 5 years. We'll show you how important has it been, what he's done, the good work he's done, the long game that Wake's been willing to play when they hired him, Pac, right?
Well, let's bring FPI back, shall we? They've had a good day today on the program. Yeah, whatever FPI says, Wake Forest says, we're going to go over. We're going above that number. Hey, the numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's getting the job done. Now, does every team want to win every game? Hey, I get it. Are the Wake fans thinking, man, we need to be 12-0? Well, you're not realistic. But I'll tell you what he's done. He's made you respectable. When you play good teams, you know what? They show up and they're prepared and ready to go.
Yep.
Kids graduate. Every time we have a Wake Forest guy on here, man, he's solid, sharp, answers questions. I'm just really impressed. I think Dave Clawson has done a brilliant job. And it would be really easy just to say, you know what? We can't compete. You know, we're tapping out in the football business.
Right.
Let's just go win two games, get a nice check at the end of the year, and we'll worry about something else. Hey, you go up and check out Wake Forest's football facilities. You go see Dave Clawson and his staff. Go check out the bowl record. These guys want to compete at the highest level, and they've got almost every disadvantage as far as an academic restrictions, small enrollment, private school, the whole routine. No problem. Those aren't roadblocks. We use that as an advantage in recruiting because we are different and special. Again, I can't emphasize enough what a great job Dave Clawson has
done. And by the way, offensively, they got it going on.
Sure do.
Man, last year, 36 points a game, four straight seasons of 30 or more points, and they're back for more, and it starts on Friday night against Old Dominion. So just a few notes there to tie you over. And Christian Beal-Smith, going to key the ground game, but kind of excited to see who else is in the mix here too for Sam Hartman.
Well, the tour tonight will be fun because I'm sure they're going to take you all over the place. And again, a lot of folks have not seen those facilities.
Oh,
they are
man.
Fantastic. And number two, you know what? Like you said, Wes, they win games. This is not a doormat W automatic, catch you later, enjoyed it, and always nice to be in Winston-Salem. I mean, you got to go compete.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some good football teams that rolled into Winston-Salem thinking, oh, it's Wake. We'll beat these guys. Wrong answer. Next, and I go back to what Riley Skinner told us last hour. It just feels here in the middle of August like that Florida State game on September the 18th is going to be a big deal. That just kind of feels like one of those mojo games that, hey, this could be the catalyst of something special. We'll see.
Yep. So the tour tonight in Winston-Salem, we're about halfway on the tour, maybe a little more than halfway.
I would think a little past halfway.
A little past halfway.
It's hard for us to tell. We never leave. But 2 weeks from today, we'll be in Raleigh.
Yeah, with talons.
With talons. Protection.
Unbelievable. When we come
back. I might have to bring that Notre Dame fencing mask right here, Wes. I wasn't aware that we got to deal with talons in 2 weeks until McLean ruined it for me.
Boy, really?
Because I know.
Really stomped on your buzz,
didn't he?
That
did not make me happy. Yeah. Maybe I need to call Katie George and see if I can borrow that 12-carat and put that thing in a trance like she had, Tuffy.
You show up with a potato sack worth of dog treats.
That's going to
happen.
Wolf
treats.
Wolf pup treats.
Wolf pup treats.
Youngster people.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Oh, man. Got a new view. You see the thank you notes back there, the Notre Dame fencing mask.
You have said some things during commercial breaks today that we never got in the 200, 300 shows we did.
You keep it to yourself, Wes.
Okay. ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Bristol, shall we? And what a unique and honored pleasure it is, Pac.
The voice of victory.
That's right. There he is, right there in the middle screen. Right there in the middle square, as we call it. The middle rectangle.
Is that what do we call it the middle square or the middle rectangle?
What do you want to call it, Pac?
Well, first of all, you need to find out if it's a square or a rectangle. Well, from this view, it looks like a rectangle.
Chrissy Velez directs this show. I'm going to go rectangle today. Let's go rectangle.
All squares are rectangles. Not all rectangles are squares.
There we have
it. Is that true or false, Wes?
That's true.
True, okay.
No, and we are presented by a willing sponsor at some point. All right, Josh, time for this week's edition.
Wait a minute, we're not sponsored?
No, this one's not today.
Are you kidding me?
I just said we're presented by some willing sponsor.
Is the sales department aware that the football season is 2 weeks away?
Josh?
I'm just asking.
Is the sales department aware? I can't speak.
Is that true or false? Is sales department aware? True or false?
It is true that football season is 2 weeks from today.
You didn't answer the question. Not a very good listener. You did not listen to the question.
I'm just doing my best impression of you guys.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, big man.
All right, guys. Let's get to some true or false. So we mentioned earlier in the week that Sam Howell in Caesar's sports book, preseason Heisman favorite, nowhere to be found in the top five. But true or false.
That is true.
And
that
neither is true. Brees Hall of Iowa State, which is also an omission, but go ahead.
We don't care about Mr. Hall. We care about Mr. Howell.
That's right.
So true or false, Sam Howell will be in the top three of Heisman Trophy voting when it's all said and done.
True. I mean, I don't know that he'll get to 100 touchdown passes because he got 68. But they're going to be pretty good, and he's going to have a lot to do with it, I think.
I had an Ohio State fan send me an email this week who was watching us talk about that list and said, you guys are nuts that C.J. Stroud, the kid that Ohio State is the best quarterback in the country, that if Sam Howell would – I'm like, dude, are you out of your mind?
Well, C.J. Stroud, Mr. Buckeye fan who emails Pack, if you're watching, Sam Howell's got 68 more of one thing that C.J. Stroud doesn't have.
I mean, I think C.J. Stroud has the potential to be a really good player.
But we know right now.
That's what I said to this guy. As we sit here today, this very second, I mean, C.J. Stroud may go on to be better than Justin Fields for all I know. And I hope for his sake, it happens.
Yeah, like Ryan Day. I got no problem with Ryan Day.
I like him too.
Yeah.
But right now, this second, Sam Howell.
Sam Howell's real.
One of the dudes now.
Yeah.
So.
True.
So it is. True across the board.
Good. Let's see if we can stick with the consistency here with preseason rankings that, quite honestly, as we've noted many times, don't matter. And I say that because that is true.
Yes.
Three ACC teams were ranked in the preseason AP poll. True or false, however, two teams that were not named in said poll will finish the season in the top 25 of the poll that actually matters, the CFP poll.
I'm going to say false. Do you want a reason behind that, or do you want to think about it, Wes?
No, go ahead. Give me a reason.
Here's the reason. I think that you're going to have to be like 9-3 to be at the tail end of the poll.
Of the AP?
Of the college football playoff. I don't acknowledge the AP.
Yeah, right.
So I think you're going to have to be in the 9-3 range. So the teams that were not ranked are teams like NC State, Boston College, and Pittsburgh. Will two of those three be 9-3 or better? I'm not going to – could they? Yes. But sitting here in August, I'm going to say false. That's my reasoning.
I'm going to go true.
Hope you're right.
First of all, I thought NC State should have been in the top 25.
I agreed, 100%.
And I think Pitt or BC are capable of being in the CFP top 25.
They are, but will one other join NC State? Because I think NC State.
Yeah, I think one other will. I mean, to me, I'm leaning more toward Pittsburgh right now than Boston College.
I would agree with that part.
So I'm going to go Pitt and NC State will make the back end of the CFP top 25.
You and I are in the same neighborhood with
that. Okay. So I'll go true.
No disrespect to Virginia, Tech,
anybody
Louisville,
else.
Wake,
Georgia Tech, if you beat the 72 Dolphins, the 85 Bears, and Clemson, you're going to get into. There you go.
You got it.
What conference do the 85 Bears play in?
Georgia Tech's schedule has the 72 Dolphins, Northern Illinois, Kennesaw State, the 85 Bears, and then the rest of the ACC.
Did the Bears join the SEC? Did I miss that? Did that happen
the
last
85
week?
Bears.
Oh, they did.
Yes, okay. They're in. They went in last week, Cloak of Darkness.
Okay, got it.
Go ahead, Josh.
Very good. On Monday, we took note of the fact that only four ACC teams over the past five seasons have won the majority of their true road games. This season, hopefully a different story. So true or false, at least seven ACC teams will win the majority of their true
road games. False. That's a big number. False. Big number. Too big.
That's a big number.
Too big. If you gave me four, we'd have a good talking. No.
No, false.
Seven, no.
False.
Nope. Sorry.
False.
Not.
All right. So if the let's change it on the fly. Four.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask a question a second. Wes, true or false? The person that wrote that question was really reaching. True or false?
True.
True. Okay. Voice of victory. Back to you.
It happens. Yeah. Reach for the stars sometimes. You know?
Hey, I'm all for it, man. Fall flat on your face. No big deal. Pick yourself up and go. Let it ride.
All right, so let's adjust it on the fly then. Four. How many? True. What's your magic number?
Four. I'd say four.
Yeah,
four.
I'd say true.
Four. Four would be the true mark for me. More than four? Ugh. They're really good teams in this league now. I mean, I don't think, and look, we say this a lot. I say it more than a lot. They're really good teams. There are going to be a lot of close games in this league this year. Dave Clawson, again, we should listen to Dave Clawson. He's talking about how good the play might be this year, right?
Plus, you've got quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have – I think we're. It's going to be interesting to go back and look at margin of victory in conference games at the end of the year. Just saying.
That statement you just made will be a catalyst for the smart people in Bristol to come up with a question. You wait and see.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Josh.
Just to play devil's advocate, isn't the mark of a really good team the ability to go on the road and win a football game?
Yes, true.
So if we have a lot of good teams, couldn't we see a lot of road wins?
True. But you have three that are preseason ranked.
Yeah, but...
You have 14 teams in the league. Everybody's bottom tier will get smoked. I don't care what conference you're talking about. You pick one.
You're talking about the like, bottom three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bottom part of everybody's league will be doormat fever. I'm just telling you, I don't know who those teams will be, but that's just the way it works.
I mean, let's look at comparatives here for a minute. I mean, let's be honest. We've talked about how hard Georgia Tech's schedule is. Georgia Tech to win five would be like somebody with a lesser schedule winning seven, eight. Yeah,
that's safe.
Okay. So, but Georgia Tech's five, four, whatever, might put them in that bottom three because of the schedule.
Right.
Okay. We know Duke, and we talked to Jeff Ferris in hour one. Duke has a longer track to go to be successful this year. Syracuse, longer track to go to be successful. The details in that. But right now, those are the three schools that you would say potentially are the bottom three. Georgia Tech, maybe a lot better, but the schedule's hard. And you're talking about consecutive weeks. The byes fall awkwardly. And then you're talking about Syracuse and Duke, who won three games last year total. I mean, that's the problem you have with saying we throw seven, eight schools out there, nine schools out there. Maybe that's the core list behind Clemson. But on the whole, somebody's not going to – the math doesn't work for everybody.
That's right. You say that every year, and it's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
True.
True. There you go, Josh.
We've spent a couple segments today talking about the success of Wake Forest, how that might surprise people.
That is
it also
true.
Might surprise people that the Demon Deacons, as we have noted, have scored over 30 points a game each of the last four seasons, including a program record 36 points per game.
That is true.
Last year, true or false, the Deacons will break that program record this season.
I'm going to go false.
Yeah, look, they're going to get over 30. I'm not sure they'll get 36. Now watch them hang a five spot in week one.
Well, listen, I expect them to. I think Wake will get off to a blazing start. I really do. Florida State, September the 18th, is the answer day for me, for both schools, quite frankly. I just think it's such a pivotal game. But the Deacs are going to put up points. I mean, they've been consistently good in that department. I expect that to happen. But 36 is a big number. That is a large number.
All right.
From offense to defense, we had Louisville defensive coordinator Brian Brown on the show earlier in the week. And he engineered the best pass defense in the league statistically last season, believe it or not. True or false, Yeah, I mean, everyone is looking towards Clemson's secondary this year as the best in the conference. But true or false, a team other than the Tigers will lead the ACC in pass yards allowed per game this year.
True.
Yeah, true. Somebody other than Clemson?
Yeah,
yes.
True.
True. You heard Eric McClain just talk about Carolina, by the way. 8 o'clock hour. Tony Grimes, Storm Ducks back. Morrison, all those cats in baby blue. NC State, Tyler Baker Williams. Give me some of those guys, too.
You know, the other thing you got to keep in mind here, too, is if teams get big leads, guess what the opponent has to do? You're going to play a little catch up. Mm-hmm. So, I think we got that one correct. I really do.
You want to mark the tape?
Are we marking tapes?
You want to mark the tape on that?
It's up to you, big man.
Let's mark the tape.
I'm going to allow you, because you are the one, between the two of us, you're the one that brings the mark the tape.
I agree with you, but let's mark the tape just in case.
You are the mark the tape
Let's
guy.
Mark the tape.
Boys, you got that? Josh, Drew.
We got it.
Chrissy, back row, Hank.
Matt. Everybody.
Everybody. Mark it.
Consider it marked. We had Jonathan Yardley on earlier talking a little ACC soccer.
True.
And as we established with him, Florida State on the women's side, Pitt on the men's side, named the ACC preseason favorites.
Also true?
True. But true or false, both preseason soccer favorites will eventually win the conference.
Yes, true. True. I'm going Florida State and Pitt. The better question would be true or false, Valentin Noel knows the name of the show.
That would be false.
That would be false. There's Valentin Noel on cue.
You know what? I'm going to go false.
No, I'm
going
to say true.
Going true.
I'm
going
to go false.
Okay.
And here's the reasoning behind it. I know how good Pitt and Florida State are, respectively, men and women. But the league is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
The league is loaded. Always is loaded. Yeah. And, you know, just you may just get one of those weird years where, you know what, we lost
the penalty.
I'm going true. All right.
I'm going true.
There you go. Fake left.
You got
right.
One more? Come on, Macri. We got one more.
Of course we do.
All right.
So you are almost through your first full week, Wes, back in the basement. And as we know, your spot in the basement is right next to Fuller's.
Wait, time out. Stop.
Yes.
This is your first full week, Wes.
Yeah.
In the basement.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
First full week in my return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week will not be a full week, nor will the week after or the week after that.
Okay. Just want to make sure we get that clarified before we move any further to this question.
Yeah. There will not be a full – sorry, maybe my only full week in the basement. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, as I was saying, this week is going to be a full week in the basement with your good buddy Fuller.
Fuller.
We know where Fuller likes to sit.
Brother
or
Fuller.
Lay, as it were.
Yeah.
And we know what he likes to do during the show. So true or false, Wes, you can tell what Fuller ate for breakfast.
False. Not today.
Yeah?
Big boy has been well-behaved, Pac.
You know, I got to tell you. You know, when we first started this show a couple of years ago, because we're coming up on our two-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Brother Fuller, you know, he was still 4 or 5 years old. He's 7 now.
Yeah.
His stomach issues are much better today.
I'm just telling you. They were 2 years ago.
2 years ago, and we'll give everybody a little inside peek. My man Fuller would come rolling in here, and he loves Wes. Buddy Wes. That's what we call Buddy Wes.
Buddy Wes.
And he would come up, and he'd cozy up with Wes, because Fuller just likes human touch.
Yeah.
He's a Labrador. He just wants to make sure I'm there with you, and there's a connection. So Fuller really did bond with Wes.
Yep.
The problem was, at the time when we started the show,
you were feeding him Italian food.
Well, I mean, dogs like noodles. What can I tell you? So the problem was Fuller's got a really sensitive stomach.
Sensitive stomach.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. True.
That's what we're
sensitive
go
stomach.
With. Sensitive stomach.
And so there would be times during the shows before COVID that Brother Fuller would welcome Wes with an aroma of which only Brother Fuller could do. And there were times that we would do this show that I would look to my left to see my partner. And he would have tears literally coming down his cheeks. And I would be laughing because I knew exactly what had happened.
True.
We've talked about the glob in hoops in the league. We also have the green smog. And so Brother Fuller would welcome Wes with a little assortment of fake left, go rights. But yes. He's doing great now. Much better, right? You haven't had any issues since you've been back. None, right, with Fuller. Not one. Don't, you don't have to knock on the wood.
Yeah, I do.
You keep knocking, he's going to think somebody's here, and he's going to start barking like crazy.
That'd be hilarious, too.
So there you go. There's a little insight.
But Chester, for the record, friends, Chester had Cheerios for breakfast this morning.
He did. He loves Cheerios.
No, tell him. What did Fuller have for
breakfast? Nothing. Fuller had nothing
Fuller
this morning.
Fuller not eating this
morning. Nothing. He was just sleeping.
We're going to be here in about 13 right minutes. We're going to be the ball dog. He'll be the ball dog
ball
after
dog.
The show's over.
Ball dog.
Josh, well done, true or false, presented by a willing sponsor at some point.
Hey, we got to get that sponsored. Sales department, let's go. It's football season.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a show on a Thursday, show number 442. We are 2 weeks away from being in Raleigh. Wes Durham finding more props, including the fact that
I didn't have one of these in Cartersville.
No, you might have that. We can send you back home with that bad boy right there. That's a good look on you.
Looked better on Billy, as I recall.
It did. It did. But the ACC Network Tour is in Winston-Salem, and got a bunch of stuff from the Deacs, haven't we? There's Billy right there.
Hey, good to see the old Bo.
Yeah.
Police pullover.
Yeah, Billy's
got to get Drew Brooks one of those old Bo pullovers.
He's got the Demon Deacon hat. He's also holding the ACC basketball official whistle. Sporting his old Bo pullover. Billy Packer, getting it done.
How about John Zaglinski?
That's a name from the past.
Yeah. Mike Elkins, my old buddy from Greensboro, yeah, was a quarterback over there at Wake Forest. Today, yep. Dave Clawson and the Deacons go center stage.
You got the Strut and Deke over here behind me.
That's right.
Right there.
Yeah.
John Curry brought that over. By the way, trivia question. Everybody loves trivia. We've had one mascot. One. We've done 442 shows.
Trivia.
We've only had one mascot show up here in the basement. And the answer? The Wake Forest Demon Deacon.
That's right.
Showed up in his motorcycle, was practicing going, doing wheelies down the street at 5:50 in the morning. You think the neighbors liked me that day?
No, the HOA fine was significant.
That was not the best of times. But he had that motorcycle cranked up. Man, yeah, he would zip down the street, zipped right on in here, stuck his head in here, and off to the races we won.
Yeah. Packer and Durham congratulates Emma Navarro this morning, the NCAA Excellent. Singles champion from Virginia. And her dog, Major Tom.
Major Tom.
Headed to Flushing, Queens, friends, as part of the U.S. Open. There's Major Tom.
So great.
Can we check in with Emma to find out if Major Tom makes the trip?
I don't know. Well, she's making the trip. That's the most important thing.
Well, I know, but what about Major Tom?
Hey, I'm pro dog. You know how I feel about all that stuff. But I'm happy for Emma. She was great as a guest.
Yep.
A tremendous player. And seemed to have her priorities straight too. She's like, you know, I could go pro, but I tell you, I've really enjoyed my time on the grounds of the University of Virginia. And I you know, who knows what her future is going to be, but we know she's going to be playing the U.S. Open. So yeah, congratulations to Emma. She is really, really something else.
Thanks today to Jeff Ferris, offensive coordinator at Duke, Eric McClain, Riley Skinner, Jonathan Yardley, all keeping us up to date. Tomorrow on this show, we'll get you ready for the road trip stop tomorrow night in Blacksburg. We'll dial up the Hokies, if you will. And Andre Powell is going to join us from Pat Narduzzi's staff at the University of Pittsburgh. And you say, well, Andre Powell, that name sounds familiar. Well, it should. He's coached at five different Atlantic Coast Conference schools since 1996.
It's amazing.
Five different ACC schools. He is a vast working knowledge of the league and its evolution in football. He'll be great to talk to. He's a tremendous guy, and his tie with Pat Narduzzi is also interesting, too.
Yep, and I think Pitt's going to be good this year.
Yep.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.